that's Flo, and this is my impression of someone who is terrible at giving directions. So you get on the 506, or it's the 605, and on the left past the new food truck, but not the new one, there's a six-way stop that's kind of like comparing Progressive's direct rate with our competitors' rates on progressive.com, but not. Then take a right at the tree that looks like that guy from that show. You know, that guy that does a thing, and everyone's like, ha-ha!
Directing you to rates in one place at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
This is the Bears fan source for breaking Bears news, the best Bears experts, and the most comprehensive Bears coverage in town. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR in HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Score Update studio, I'm Chris Ranji. In his last seven outings, Cubs pitcher Jake Arrieta has averaged nearly eight innings per start. But manager Joe Maddon says that's no big deal because Arrieta's been efficient with his pitches, allowing him to go deep in games.
I think he's going to be rested and ready for this game tonight. Talked about trust. You got to trust your players. You trust the people you're around. I trust Jake. The way he works, his workouts, his mental toughness, all those things I anticipate will be on display tonight.
Arrieta faces Gerrit Cole in the wild card game in Pittsburgh. Sean Rodriguez starting in place of Pedro Alvarez for the Pirates. Kyle Schwarber is going to be in the Cubs outfield, but in right field this time. He'll get the start there with Chris Bryant in left. The winner of the ball game will play the Cardinals in the division series starting on Friday afternoon. St. Louis hopeful catcher Yadier Molina will make their playoff roster. He took BP and did some field work today. Molina recovering from a thumb injury. Big night for the Blackhawks as well. They'll have their championship banner unveiled at the United Center. They open up their regular season against the New York Rangers. Michael Roosevelt placed on extended injured reserve today. Robbie Gould named Special Teams Player of the Week in the NFC. The Bears practice ahead of their game. They'll play at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs on Sunday. Jay Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey, and Kyle Long limited in practice today. Jermon Bushrod out with a concussion. This update brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. And the 2015 Acura TLX with integrated dynamic system has four distinct drive modes that result in a nearly indescribable thrill. The only way to truly experience the TLX is behind the wheel. So come in for a test drive today and see for yourself the 2015 Acura TLX. It's that kind of thrill. 670 weather, low of 58 tonight and clear. Showers tomorrow and a high of 77. I'm Chris Ranji, and you are listening to the radio home for Bears fans, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
This hour brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. For tickets, visit nusports.com.
It's a thrill here. We got Antoine Fats Domino, Spike Lee's here. We got Brad Pitt. We had a chance to say hello to him.
Hub Arkish
on the sideline. Doesn't get any better than this.
670 The Score's NFL Insider.
We sat there and predicted exactly this, that this was who this team was.
Editor of ChicagoFootball.com.
An experienced NFL reporter with decades of experience.
Columnist for Shaw Media and the Chicago Sun-Times.
Jeremiah Ratliff, I would do anything that man told me to.
Taking your calls on the Bears and the NFL.
Hub, with the Bears getting no sacks in eight quarters, would genetic clones of Lem Barney and Herb Adderley at their peak skills also look awful?
Yeah! Hub Arkish with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
And Hub is brought to you by Ed Napleton, Elmhurst Acura Kia. Ed Napleton, second to none since 1931. Hub Arkish, as he does each and every Wednesday, joins us on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles.
Whoa. Are you there?
The symbols for you, yeah.
I thought Jim Tomsula was there. Okay.
GrossingerDeals.com. And before we let the people have at you, curious just how you're doing as a Cub fan at the moment.
I'm doing fine. Ball game tonight. You know, it should be interesting. I just my attitude towards this guys is that they have so overachieved this year. Obviously, I hope they win tonight, but can't really worry about it. It's the second and third best team in baseball. The system stinks, but that's a different question.
Well, for a different question, Frank in Oak Park is on the score.
Here's one.
Hub, I think you're a few years older than me, so you've seen at least one more Bear rebuild than I. Tell me, which new Bear GM was presented with the greater challenges? Jim Finks in the fall of 74 had to move a 50-style organization sort of kicking and screaming into the mid-70s, including getting rid of that dime store Fellini responsible for the ever shadowy and bad old 22 shots, even though he did have support of Muggs Hallis in doing this, or Ryan Pace, who, while he didn't have to move an organization out of the Stone Age, he faced challenges that Finks didn't, i.e., the constant grind of having to replace people with free agency, both starters and depth, and also a fan base that's seen, I think, 10 world championships from other Chicago teams in the last 25 years, so they're a lot less tolerant of losers.
You know, Frank, I guess it's an interesting question. It's tough. I mean, they both obviously have had real challenges. I suppose if I had to say which was more difficult, I think I'd go with Finks. The team had been really bad for a longer period of time. He had to do it with George Hallis right there. You know, I mean, you got to remember, he came in 75, and Papa Bear was around for the first 7-8 years, oversaw the whole thing. As near as I could tell, he did let him do his job, but he certainly was present. You know, one thing about this situation with Ryan Pace is they're going to stay out of his way. They're going to judge him for sure, but it's not like everything he's doing is going to be second-guessed or being looked at by the guy who invented the game, so to speak. So, you know, the Bears were in the Super Bowl, what was it, the 06 season? So 8-9 years ago, they've been in the playoffs a few times since then. I think that this team is probably, I don't want, they're not closer than the Bears were when Finks came along in 75, but I just think Finks' job may have been a hair tougher, but neither one had an easy road.
Nothing, Kenny. Nothing. George in Oak Lawn, you're on the score.
Hub, I'm heading down to the Bears game this weekend, and I would like to tap into your keen knowledge. Is there a barbecue joint that you could recommend?
Got to go to Arthur Bryant's. You'll get the debate from a lot of people. Arthur Bryant's is in a shaky neighborhood, but I mean, I've never had a problem there. They literally are cooking up the barbecue behind bars, you know, about iron bars.
Hub, I think that's a different story.
Yeah. I don't think you're at Arthur Bryant's. Yeah.
You were in a football game.
They have a key to the door. They're not cooking from the penitentiary, but it is a classic old barbecue joint, and they just pile the meat on slices of white bread. It is an incredible stop. You got to make it.
Well, there you go. Asked and answered. Easy enough. Yeah, Bill in Bloomington, welcome to the Source Ahead of Hub.
The topic of the NFL returning to L.A. was back in the news this week with a bunch of owners commenting. And just today, St. Louis in its group says that they've sold the naming rights to a stadium that hasn't been built yet. How would you handicap the race for next year in L.A.?
Boy, you know, it's an interesting question. St. Louis, from amongst the three, from St. Louis, Oakland, and San Diego, has the best chance of building a new stadium. It also has an owner who has the best resources in California and is a real estate mogul in California and has the ability to put his stadium up on his own. Now, the Spanos family has a real estate background as well, but they don't have the pockets, they don't have the Walmart money that the Kroenke group does. And so you would think that the Rams have the best resources to do whatever they want in Los Angeles and may be able to tell the best story. The issue the league is going to look at, though, is that they also have the best chance of getting what they want in St. Louis. There isn't going to be a new building in San Diego, and there isn't going to be a new building in Oakland. So that's what makes this so tough. But if we just forget all that, if we just say amongst the three teams who has the best ability to get it done, I'd rank the Rams probably number one, the Chargers number two, and the Raiders number three, although the rumors that the combined Raider Charger Stadium were dead are now alive again, or I should say the possibility of that deal is alive again. And so it could be that if it's the Chargers and the Raiders, it would be a package deal in one stadium.
Want to mention a little bit of Bears news that has crossed, that the Bears, as expected, have re-signed linebacker John Timu to their practice squad. He cleared waivers at 3 p.m., so they thought they would be able to do that, and they did. Speaking of Los Angeles, that's where Jason is, and he's next on the score.
I actually don't know if it's because I've moved out of Chicago and I'm removed from it, or I'm just getting older and finally starting to get smarter with watching games. But I've been wondering, like with this season especially, should I be watching performance of the players or the production from the coaches and how they're coaching and their game planning specifically? I mean, because next year I don't know who could be back, and if everyone could be back, or they get rid of the whole, linebacking core, defensive backcourt. So,
well, Jason, I think the most informative thing for you is going to be watching the players.